Now on the morning show, we're continuing to look at the issue of parental alienation. We've been inundated from parents and grandparents who are experiencing this right now, and their stories are heartbreaking. This has also had a massive effect on children. My next guest, Fintan Murphy, wrote Don't Hug Your Mother with his brother Gareth. The book is a memoir of their childhood and experience of parental alienation. Fintan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a million for having me, Declan.
Thank you very much indeed. Go back to the beginning of this, when this actually started.
So it started, this was in the 80s, when my parents, they began to fight. My father had an affair and they eventually separated. So when this happened, myself and my brother Gareth moved into a different house with our mother, and after about a year our father decided that he wanted us to move back in with him. We believe that's because he didn't want to pay our mother child maintenance, so we moved back in with him, but it wasn't really for because he loved us or he wanted us there or anything like that. So when we moved back in, it was actually terrible living with him and his new partner. So they kind of used us to clean the house and make dinners, and basically we were kind of like slaves to them. And at the same time, he didn't have to pay
maintenance. And what age was Gareth?
So Gareth was 10 at this stage when we moved back in. Sorry, the separation, Gareth was 10 and I was 8. So when we moved back in, I was about 9 and he was 11. So we had about a year with our mother.
Very young.
Very young, yeah. It was within then about a year or two of that where we were still seeing our mother for visits and stuff like that. But bit by bit, they were kind of phased out to the extent that then when it hit 1992, where I was 11 and Gar was 13, we saw our mother then for the last time for what would be 16 years.
And tell me, Fintan, were you happy with your mother? I mean, obviously, you'd been unhappy with the split and probably all the acrimony that had gone before it in the house, etc. But when you moved in with your mother, were both of you happy there?
Oh, yeah, extremely. I was extremely happy. I wasn't that upset about the separation. I didn't really feel like I got on very well with my father before that. And I was kind of delighted to be just moving in to a house with just my mother. And when I was living with her, we're supposed to have these stayovers with our father or whatever like that. And sometimes he just wouldn't show up to pick me up or stuff like that. And I was always delighted if that happened. I preferred to just stay with my mother. So, of course, when it did happen that we were to move back in with our father full time, like, that was devastating for me. I knew that it spelled kind of bad times ahead.
Yeah. Do you think you were used as pawns or something in their dispute?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, by my father, we were used as pawns. I mean, I don't think he'd even argue with that himself. You know, it was literally, he's a very selfish person, obviously. And he does whatever seems the best to him. Whatever gets the best results for him. Money is a big driver in his world. So, you know, paying our mother maintenance, as I said, was a real, like, every week there'd be arguments about that. It turned out then that if he took us back, he didn't have to pay the maintenance anymore. So he took us back and then, as he said, phased our mother out of it altogether. And now, some of the things that come to mind when I talk about it is, you know, that it's still going on today. The reason we wrote the book and wanted to speak out about it and stuff like that is because parents kind of have a hard time trying to speak out about it with the way the law is. So we were in that kind of unique position to be able to speak out as well as the children in it. And through the eyes of the children, because I think sometimes people have a perception when they see parents separated and one parent not seeing the children. They have this perception that there's something wrong with that parent and they probably deserve it. But if you really think about it, the only reason a child wouldn't want to see his parent is if that parent is abusive to them. You know, naturally, a parent is going to want to see, or sorry, a child is going to want to see that parent. So it's kind of to raise that awareness that this isn't just affecting the parent who is being alienated from the child, which is obviously tragic and desperate thing to happen, but it's also a huge effect on the child.
And for Fintan, was this a sort of planned separation? Was there, you know, a mediator involved or anybody like that, or was it just within the family itself they split up? And next thing, it was sort of a tug of war between the kids.
It was more that they split up. Like my mother, you have to remember, this was the '80s. My mother was a housewife; she was encouraged to stay at home. My father moved his new partner into the house, which kind of forced our mother to move out. Now, my father's new partner was 12, 13 years younger than him, which is about 15, 16 years younger than our mother. So our mother sort of felt she had to move out, and she was taking us two with us. We had an older brother then as well, Shane, and he was to stay with our father and his new partner. And that was kind of part of the agreement within the family, sort of thing. When it got a bit, let's say the agreement wasn't going to work anymore, he wanted us to move back in with him and stop paying maintenance, that's when solicitors got involved. But of course, my mother had legal aid, which wasn't great. No disrespect to legal aid or the sisters there, but the solicitor she got certainly wasn't very good. And my father was able to pay for a very good solicitor. I wouldn't say a very good solicitor, because I don't know how they didn't see what was happening with us, the kids, and intervene and tell them that you know, he shouldn't be doing what he was doing. And that's kind of another issue.
Yeah, well, let's stick to what life was like when you moved back. How often did you see your mother? Had she got visitation rights? You're probably going to say no. Did you have to sneak out to see your mother? Which way did that operate?
So it was, again, just agreed that we'd see her, say, on a Tuesday evening, on a Thursday evening. But quite soon, our father would say to us as we're going out to see her, first of all, he'd dress us in clothes that his new partner had bought us, and he'd brush her hair a different way. And then he'd tell us then as we're going down, you know, don't take presents off her. So she'd buy, say, a Beano annual or, you know, stuff. And he'd say, I don't want you coming home with anything from her, you know, trying to paint her as this sort of witch figure, you know. And then it escalated to the name of the book, which is when he said, when I got down there, don't hug your mother, you know, don't give her a hug. And that was obviously very hard to listen to. And I initially ignored what he was saying. Well, I didn't ignore it, but I just basically decided I was still going to hug my mother. And Shane then told her father, let it out, like, that I had, and I was in serious trouble for that. But I mean, that was a constant in our house then, was you were encouraged to tell on each other, all these kind of things. You started to wonder what was bad and what was good, because if hugging your mother is bad, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So it was
this continued
a lot of walking
through your teenage years. And I mean, what happened when you got older?
So this continued through the teenage years. And then as I hit about 16, 17, and this is just speaking from my own personal experience, my father started getting a bit nicer towards me, you know. Now, they were still sort of gaining from me in a way, like, you know, as soon as I started working, they were taking pretty much everything that I earned into the house and stuff like that. But he was a manipulator, and he kept on trying to brainwash us and tell us that we had a great childhood, and that you know, he did us a favor by taking us away from our mother and all this kind of stuff. And you start to go a bit like, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if it's not. I haven't seen my mother in a long time. One of the sneakiest things that they did, I always remember, even as younger, like when it was our birthday, so you could be screaming and roaring matches a week or two beforehand, but when it was your birthday, you'd wake up in the morning and they'd be as nice as pie to you, and they'd get you a birthday cake, and they'd take out a camera then, and he actually had a tripod and everything to take this kind of happy family. And it's only because in the book, you can see Gar actually kept a diary at the time, and he refers to this suitcase of photographs that they kept, which were to be used kind of in the court case, and then later used when we got older. Look at those photos. Look at the great childhood you had. But of course, we could remember. You'd go to bed then on your birthday, and you wake up the next day, and it was back to the same. You know, so.
Tell me, Fintan, you know, you were obviously growing up and older, and this was still continuing. When did things change? When you became an adult? What was your view and becoming independent and things like that? Or did you?
Yeah, well, the real change came because they were actually only separated. Obviously, divorce wasn't a thing. So they were getting an actual divorce. And this was years later, when I would have been about, I'm trying to think now, 19 and Gar 21 maybe. And we went to the family courts with our father, and he spoke to us beforehand about what he wanted us to say. And it was started as what happened and then what he wanted to say. And we were a bit older now, so we were able to kind of talk back and go, well, hang
on. Both over 18, is that right? We're both over 18. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you had your own views to be taken seriously.
Now, I still lived with him and I was still afraid of him, but I was still able to kind of say, well, hang on, that's not what happened. And myself and Garrett, we got together and we said, listen, there's a lot of what he's saying is absolute, you know, rubbish. Like, you know, why is he saying it? And then we started piecing together our own memories. And that's when we kind of said, you know what, there's something, you know, very off about what happened in our childhood. And it still took a year or two before we really, you know, caught on to everything that was going on. We had another, our older brother Shane, as I told you about, he had been kind of alienated from the family, so to speak. And we hadn't seen him in a few years because he constantly said that he wanted to see our mom for years or whatever like that. So he was like kicked out of the house at just before he was 18 even. So that was one of the first moves, was we went to see Shane. He was actually, he's in a psychiatric hospital in St. James's Hospital. And he's kind of been in and out of there ever since. But we went in to see him and we started to talk to him about Mom and stuff. And he had, of course, kept in contact with Mom. So he arranged for us to go and visit our mom. She lived in Carlow. So that was.
And how many years later was that?
So it was, I think it was 18 years later.
Gee, 18. Yeah, what age were you then?
So, what was it, 28?
All those years. But listen, you know, these things, broken homes and experiences like this, they leave a mark, you know, as you live your life yourself, and you can have flashbacks to them, whether you can view them and put them away, or sometimes they might get you down or something. How's it been?
For a good few years, trying to unravel it, because, you know, there were so many lies told and there's so many kind of misdirecting things told to you, that for a few years it did weigh certainly on me, you know, where you'd just be thinking about it all the time and kind of, you know, wondering what did happen and whose fault was it and this kind of thing. The best thing that happened for me and Gar was then when we sat down and we said, let's write this book, because we unraveled the web, so to speak. And it was a very cathartic exercise. So by the time we finished the book, we knew exactly what had happened. we dealt in fact then, we went chronologically, and it became very obvious to us, you know, what had happened. Unfortunately for our older brother Shane, as I said, he wasn't as lucky. As I said, he was kicked out of the house when he was 17, and then he ended up having his first breakdown, actually, on our father's partner's birthday, where he was down in Carlo with our mum. And I think just the whole thing of our father telling them that our mum was terrible, and to try and to pretend that this new partner, who was about 8 years older than Shane, was his new mother, was just too much for him. And he's never been the same since. Like, you know, so he's been in and out of psychiatric. He doesn't live a normal adult's life, and he never will. And I put that all down to what our father did. And that's the effect that parental alienation can have on your kids. So anyone who's doing it, they don't love their kids, you know, because they're damaging their kids. They're taking away their childhood. You know, that's what I look back. I go, Jesus, you know, from 8 years of age onwards, I don't really feel like I had much of a childhood. I had a terrible childhood, and I want to forget it, you know.
Yeah, so, how has that affected you? Are you in a relationship or are you dad?
Yeah. No, I'm married and I have four kids. So obviously I'm very different to my father with how I am with my kids, but it gives me perspective on things. You know, when I think of before, say, I might have thought, Jesus, you know, we let him away with everything. He got the house and got the, you know, took the money and he got the divorce and our mother was left with nothing and we just let him away with that. But I talk to my mom now and she's quite happy. And then I have kids and I'm like, you know, we obviously have a loving relationship. And I'm like, my father doesn't know what that is, a loving relationship with your kids. So he's actually missed out on the best things in life. So in a strange kind of way, I almost feel sorry for him because he's wasted his life just, you know, chasing monetary things, you know.
Yeah, and the name of the book is Don't Hug Your Mother by Fintan Murphy. And hugging your mother, so after the period of separation that you hadn't seen her for all that time, what was that reunion like?
It was funny, actually, in a way. It was nice to see her, obviously, but we came out of the train and we met her, and she looked at me and she said Garrett, and she looked at Garrett and she said Fintan, and we were like, no, it's the other way around. And we had a little laugh and then we just hugged, you know. And it, you know, it was great. She was the same person she was when I last seen her at 10 or whatever age it was. And it just reinforced everything that we had kind of thought, that hang on, how could this loving person be that witch that our father had portrayed her to be? And I knew all along she wasn't, but this, you know, here she is. I wasn't just imagining it. She was just a nice, just a harmless lady, like, who just wouldn't do anything. Unfortunately, too, she didn't like any sort of arguments or anything like that, and he walked all over her, basically.
Yeah, and have you heard since the book, and no doubt if the contacts that we're getting with people, you must have, you know, having a book out, got an awful lot of people in contact with you. I mean, they probably have stories that didn't work out as well as yours.
Yeah, so when we brought it out first, I spoke to a number of people who were going through this, usually parents who were going through this, and it was great to be able to offer some advice as to what the kids were going through, because some parents would sort of say, well, I can't understand why my child is shouting at me saying I hate you and, you know, this. And when that child has to go back and live with the alienated parent who might beat them or might, you know, just be really abusive to them, that child might see no option but to say I hate you, because they know that they're going back to a beating if they don't, you know. So it's I don't think it's easy for parents to hear that kind of thing either, but at least they know where their child is sort of coming from to an extent. I mean, look, brainwashing children, it's it's the lowest thing you can do, really, isn't it? But this is what some people are doing, you know, it strikes me as a kind of, you know, as I said, my father's motivation, I think, was money, but there was also like, we got separated and I'm going to win and you're going to lose, if that makes sense. And it's a real childish attitude, and it really affects the children, you know, as well as the other parents.
As you mentioned, the lasting effects, loads and loads of texts even coming in this morning, on top of the hundreds and emails that we've got over the last while. Well done, Fintan. A story is happening in many family breakdowns in Ireland. Now it's been done covertly. Hi, guys. Parental alienation is being used to hurt ex-partners, influence division of assets. It's causing unquantifiable damage to children, and no one seems to care. It's not 1981 anymore. It's 2021, and people's courts, the professionals know that this is happening. Another one, my heart is broken. I've two beautiful children that I haven't seen in 5 years. I feel like I'm listening to my own story, all to do with money and land, and a very heartbroken mother listening here, hoping one day to be reunited with my children. So many of these coming in at the moment. I'm trying to read them on my phone here. My child has been subjected to her comfort toy being kept by my ex because he wanted it, because he was lonely. My child is also not allowed to bring home anything that is bought in their dad's house, even at the judge warning him that if he still continues to do this behavior, there will be consequences. There's so many coming in of stories like that, and we don't hear about them. This is what surprised us so much, Fintan, when people got in contact, that you know, they seem to be behind closed doors.
Yeah, there is. I mean, a lot of it is behind closed doors, but a lot of it is, I think, people close their eyes to a little bit as well, you know. I mean, when I think of our situation, it was fairly obvious that something was going on. You know, we had neighbours who were friends with our mum, and next of all, this new woman, girl I should nearly say, moves in, and her mum is gone, and where the kids are acting a bit weird, and the neighbours just become friends with the new woman and don't say anything or do anything, and you kind of go like, were you not like concerned? Were you not thinking, what's going on here? You know, why don't they see their mother anymore, who, you know, was a nice person? There's also like the someone mentioned there, the courts there, whatever. And I remember, and we've seen it in Cara's diary, like the amount of the court case was supposed to happen, and then, you know, something happened, and it won't be till next year, and then it won't be till next year. Like, kids are only kids for a while, you know. You gotta have the hearing and have it very quickly, and not spaced out over the space of the whole childhood. Yeah. You know, by the time the kid is 20, you're finally getting the decision or something like that. That's no use, you know, from the kid's perspective or the parent, because they've missed out on seeing the child for all that time.
A texter says, Fintan, I'm crying listening to you. Thank you so much for being our voice. Fintan, I'd love to continue our conversation for the morning, really, because, you know, the insight that you have in talking to us, never mind what's in the book, which is definitely one to read, to know about the situation. But the story and honesty that you've given us this morning is exceptional. So thank you for that. And hopefully you'll be free sometime. We can continue the conversation, especially as you've been such a great help to lots of other people.
No, absolutely, Declan, and thanks for having us on the show. And if anyone does want to read the book, it's available on Amazon. You can just Google Don't Hug Your Mother, and I'm sure you'll find it. But if people do get it, share it around, get more people to read it, because it's all about growing the awareness of parental alienation to the point where it can't be ignored any longer, you know. And certainly you guys featuring on this show over the last few days is a great help. So commending yourselves as well.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Fintan Murphy. Regards to Gareth as well. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, Declan.
Bye-bye. Look after yourself. Thank you. And our email is morningshow@eastcoast.fm or on text at 087 77 11 103.